This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, time's a charm.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. This is my third attempt at recording this intro as my internet is being a real pain. Just as I get into my flow, I just see a load of confused faces in front of me that are just sniggering at me chatting away, essentially in a shed on headroom version of me. Okay. Well, look, tonight's episode, there's lots of the usual faces here tonight. We've got Big Steve, we've got Little Steve, we've got Si, we've got Paul, we've got Kirst, and welcome this evening. We've got Dave joining us tonight, so it's lovely to have you join these live shows. And you've joined on a good one, because we're talking film soundtracks and film scores this evening, and getting some kind of sort of feedback from you, slot, although... weird, wonky Zoom delay considered. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Brett Carter. Tell me one of your favorite film soundtrack first.
It's got to be Blade Runner. And me and my flatmate, on one of those jaded Sunday mornings when you've woken up feeling not too well, we'd put that, just the soundtrack on, and sort of flop about in the house quite a bit. It's lovely. It's beautiful. It's just, yeah, it's the soundtrack. I love it. Really nice.
I mean, that's a pretty perfect choice. What did you make of the newer version and the score to that?
I didn't really like the film. It was all right, but it's a sequel for the sake of it. I mean, Blade Runner as a film is a wonderful, perfect thing, and it's, don't mess with it. You don't need to remake it or do it again. It's like when they redid What's One When They Go to Mars, with Arnie in. Total Recall. They remade it and it's bloody awful. Some things have been just left alone. Anyway, I can rant about that.
Paul Cummins, favourite soundtrack, please, my friend.
Definitely a bit of an old classic. It's Midnight Cowboy.
Oh.
So from 1969 or something, with Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. And it's John Barry soundtrack. And it's got that brilliant sort of theme tune with a harmonica on it. And I can just picture some of the scenes from the film, you know, when you hear it. And, you know, John Voight walking down the street or whatever, or on the bus at the end, sort of thing. And it's also got Everybody's Talking, Harry Nilsson, yeah, which is just a wonderful song. And I just love the movie as well. I've not seen it for a long, long time, but it just kind of captures that kind of late 60s feel of New York, and yeah, just that romance of what it was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful shout. Faith No More covered Midnight Cowboy, didn't they?
Yeah, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Manson definitely borrowed from that on the Chad Who Loved Me, the opening track on the debut record. I'm sure that's quite heavily borrowed from that John Barry score. That's a solid shout, that one is, Paul. Dave, welcome to the gang. It's lovely to have you here. What's your favourite film soundtrack, mate?
Well, I don't know if it's my favourite, but it's a brilliant soundtrack. It's not a great film, but it's a brilliant soundtrack, and that's Judgment Night.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, soundtrack's better than the film.
It's a lot better.
Stolen my answer, yeah.
No, sorry, mate.
Even got it written down, number one.
I mean, for listeners that have never heard the Judgment soundtrack, tell us a little bit about it, Dave, because it was very pioneering.
It's all rock and rap collaborations, isn't it? They just go together really well as well. I mean, you've got some absolutely classic bands and classic hip-hop acts with Run DMC and Cypress Hill, Booyah Tribe, Faith No More. It's just... Like I said, I bought the CD, listened to the CD before I'd even seen the film.
Same.
My brother recommended it to me, and I stuck that on, and I thought, I've got to look forward to watching the film, but yeah. It's a bit of a disappointment, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it really was. Yeah, I think you could probably say the same for singles as well, which come out probably not that long after that. I think the score was better than the film. But yeah, I think Onyx are on there, aren't they? And my favourite is Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul, Falling. I think that's
my favourite tune.
It's completely out of sync with everything else on that record. I think that everyone else was just being real badasses, but obviously Fanny's and Dale just went full Daisy Age.
It was a lot more chilled, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's a solid chat. Well, above your head on my screen is Cursed. What you got for us, mate?
Well, sometimes I feel a little bit self-conscious that I'm the woman of the group and that my answers are painfully girly sometimes. And unfortunately, I am going to stick with that at the moment. So it's not really the whole soundtrack, but there was one scene of this film that really jumped to my mind. And it's the Baz Luhrmann film, Strictly Ballroom. I don't know if people have seen it or not, but it's brilliant. So good. And obviously Baz Luhrmann usually has loads of great songs in it and stuff. But there's this one scene where the woman of the film, like she's, you know, she's trying to learn how to dance and there's this dance teacher that's teaching her and all that sort of stuff. And they dance on this rooftop. It's somewhere in Australia. And it's to the song Cyndi Lauper's Time After Time. And it's so good. And it's so... When I was a teenager, I was just like, oh my God, this is so romantic. But yeah, I loved it. And I appreciate it. It's an extremely girly answer. But it's a good film. And it's like... It's got all those really like grotesque Australianisms that are like really far pushed and stuff. Where they've got all the big giant pink lipsticks and big bouffant hair and stuff like that. But it's great. I loved it. And that scene in particular.
And Time After Time is a magnificent pop record, isn't it? It don't get a lot better than that. I actually caught up with Pip. He come and guested on another podcast that I do a couple of days ago, yesterday, in fact. And we was chatting and he brought up, we've been talking recently, he's obsessed with Cyndi Lauper, and which was one of the things when he first mentioned that I did not have him pegged down as being somebody that had been a Cyndi Lauper. But he's rather obsessed with her. And we was talking about her finest work. And I don't think he comes a lot better than Time After Time. I think that he's a beautiful, beautiful record. Solid shout. And Strictly Ballroom's a great film. Mr. Lovell.
Favourite.
Yes,
that's a monster as well. Good morning, mate. I absolutely adore it. The music.
Read off the back, Austin, brother.
Right, we got Nowhere to Run. It starts with Martha Reeves, which is a killer track.
What an intro!
Something Good for You, Stu. I Get Around, Beach Boys.
Wonderful.
Then Game of Love, Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders. Sugar and Spice, The Searchers. I love that track. And then you got Liar Liar, The Castaways. That's a cracking track. Warmth of the Sun, Beach Boys. Then you got I Got You, James Brown. Baby Iconic. Please Don't Go by Them, which is a killer track.
Amazing.
What else we got on here? Danger, Heartbreak, Dead Ahead, The Marvelettes. It's a cracking song. 5 o'clock World, The Vogues. California Sun, The Rivieras. And What a Wonderful World, it ends with Louis Armstrong.
It's got the Adrian Crowther talking in between.
Yeah, it sounds, yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a cassette of that. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's sad now. It's really sad. You hear it and it just cheers you up and you think of him and it's beautiful. But that's a killer Sunday morning in the summer album.
Second did.
You mentioning Them the band Them, has just thrown a curveball into mine. So I'm going to throw mine in that before I forget it, because I think around maybe the mid to late 90s, they made a film about Basquiat, the artist. I presume I'm pronouncing it Basquiat or Basquiat. You all know what I mean. And Bowie was in it, and all manner of cool people were in it. I don't think it was a commercial success, the film. I thought it was pretty cool. But the score is absolutely fantastic. So it's the opening track is a cover of Public Image Limited's Rise, performed by Trippin' Daisy, who went on to be the Polyphonic Spree. It's the first time I heard It's All Over Now, Baby Blue by Them, which Beck sampled as well. The opening sample, or the opening lick on that is sampled by Beck in the late 90s. And it's a phenomenal cover. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue is one of my favourite Dylan songs as well. But it's got... there's an American, I think they're American, called the Toadies, and they do a cover of I'm Not In Love by Talking Heads, which is fucking insane. And it's got White Lines on it. It's got an amazing track by Gavin Friday, and it's got John Cale doing Hallelujah, which I think is the definitive version of Hallelujah. And I do apologise to Jeff Buckley fans, but I've stated my case on Jeff Buckley. But yeah, so I'm going to go for the Basquiat soundtrack for mine. Little Steve, what you got, mate?
On a score or a soundtrack?
We'll go soundtrack first.
Soundtrack will go for Natural Born Killers, which has got a lot of good stuff. A lot of the sort of films for that sort of 93-95 time, all the soundtracks were great.
Yeah.
Natural Born Killers, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Clark's, Dazed and Confused.
Trainspotting.
It was just like fucking top notch at that time. Probably just the right age where film and music was just combining with me and just spot on.
I think it was like a time when all of a sudden in the 90s, like a lot of movies like that, you know, the like Clerks and, you know, Chasing Amy and all of them films, and obviously all the Tarantino stuff and the Irvin Welsh stuff. It was all fucking cool, wasn't it? Like, all of the films and the soundtracks were all really fucking cool.
And the market and then everything was just...
Massively. Yeah. I remember, I'm sure Big Steve remember his time current at the Toothbrush and hearing Jungle Boogie, hearing Urge Overkill, Girl, You'll Be a Woman, hearing Son of a Preacher Man, you know, what was one from Jackie Brand? Across 110th Street by Bobby Womack, like, all of these fucking great records that a lot of people hadn't heard before until... What's the one on Pulp Fiction that Mariah McKee sings, which is fucking beautiful? It's not something... Is it something in a dress or girl in a dress? I can't remember. But, yeah.
It was a red dress.
You love it's a red dress, yeah.
Wow, what a beautiful record. I got that close to getting her on the podcast about 2 years ago. She lives in London now. And what a voice she's got. Okay, who's left? Big Steve. I know we've all shouted your ones out now. We've just
heard of
what you're left with, mate.
It actually goes back to, because I listened to the Caught Up with Hardcore Listening today. It actually goes back to that, and it's the Bugsy Malone soundtrack. We could have been on everything else, and just makes me feel like I'm like 15 again watching that film. One of those splurge gun.
It's my funeral song, man. It's my funeral song. It's just that closing scene, that closing song is perfect. And again, we talk cool in the 90s, growing up in the 80s, and kids pedaling around in like cars shooting custard pies. We don't get any cooler than that, does it? Scott Baio was the coolest kid ever when he was little, wasn't he? What a dude he was. Oh, fantastic. I'm really surprised. I thought you was going to go for some really obscure B-movie, like horror film with some really fucking scourgy metal kind of drone over it.
Everyone else has stolen mine. I had some honourable mentions. I had the Batman soundtrack with Prince.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Great.
Scott Pilgrim soundtrack's really good. Breakfast Club. Stranger Things soundtrack's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah. Metal doesn't seem to do too well with soundtracks. It's not a great deal of...
Don't backpedal now, Steve. You've been outed, mate. We've realised you're a pussycat, mate.
it's fine, mate. Fine. I'm mad enough to take you on the chin.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Loza, can you hear us? Are you just listening in, or are you getting stuck in?
I was just listening in, but I was going to be like a pretty basic bitch and say Interstellar. Always for Hans Zimmer.
Is time on that?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, that's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it is a pretty, you know, like, what's the best film ever made? Godfather, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Like, every time I hear it, there's just, it's so good. Even Gladiator, like, Hans Zimmer just does something, even though he is a bit of a creepy old man. But he knows his music. He's really, really, any score that he does is, like, hard to not love. Like, Dark Knight as well.
Yeah.
One of the big ones. But, yeah, score-wise, soundtrack. At the minute, I'd have to say Into the Spider-Verse.
Nice.
Got a banging soundtrack. And Pulp Fiction, the obvious one, because, like you said, Stu, some of the songs I faintly heard when I was a bit younger, but then that kind of brought it out. Like, I wasn't rocking Son of a Preacher Man when I was, like, 15. Yeah. But, you know, like, you'd hear it, but then that kind of brought a whole new experience, especially when, like, in the Thurman's ODing with, well, you'll be your wandering soul. Like, the most intense moment of a film. But Boogie Nights as well, I was just going to give a shout out.
Oh, yeah, great shout. Great shout.
Yeah.
Have you seen, Noza, the version on YouTube of Hans Zimmer playing it live with Johnny Marr playing guitar?
No.
It's unreal. Has anyone else on here seen that? It's just this huge concert in Austria, I think, and they're playing Time, and Johnny Marr plays this like kind of guitar play over, and they've got someone that's got a very sort of operatic style vocal, and she's just taking it somewhere else, and Johnny Marr is just standing in front of the centre, obviously just looking beyond fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it's so good. But I had his son on Off the Beaten Track a fair few years ago, Niall. And Niall now is the guitarist for Hans Zimmer. So is Johnny Marr's son is the in-house guitarist for Zimmer.
Yeah. We saw him for my 40th, Rob took me to O2 to see Hans Zimmer.
How was it?
Oh, it was unbelievable. But I just can't get over his creepiness.
What's this based on?
Oh, so all these female, like, he has done the violinist, I can't remember her name with it, and she's always like, I mean, not, but I think he makes them wear this, but like all the females have basically got their asses out.
There's a lot of guesswork going on here, isn't there, Noz?
there is, but also like when he sleeps, it was just so touchy on the stage. It was just like, no, can't do it, but yeah.
Well, you picked him up and shot him down in one go there. Fantastic.
You know.
Gentlemen, hands him on.
You know, I won't be surprised if there's a story that comes out. That's all I'm saying.
Fuck, mate. You need to go Unacceptable in the 80s. You're on the wrong podcast, Noz. Right.
Well, yeah. For someone that didn't have much to say, there you go.
Shut never All right. Well, Noz has just kicked off scores. Who wants to throw a score in the mix? Go on, Steve. What you got, mate?
I'm not going for the obvious one that everybody thinks I'll mention, and I'll mention Clint Mantle instead. and he's got a load there, but the first one that really sort of did it would be Moon. The Moon.
Oh.
The sort of tinkly piano ongoing, just that very sort of Philip Glassy and whatnot, and it's amazing. And he's got Requiem for a Dream and all these other things and everything that are absolutely outstanding. But that's the one I'd sort of pick. And to
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, run a wee thing for hands. True Romance, You're So Cool. Fucking brilliant. That's the hands bit. But I'll leave my obvious one.
That's so good. It's so weird, isn't it? Like the sort of gear change in genre and sound and everything for Clint Mansell, you know, when bouncing around with a head full of dreads in the early 90s to making the score to Requiem for a Dream was quite a step, wasn't it? Because, yeah. I don't know, you'd never have had him down in the early 90s as going, yeah, this is what this guy's going to do. But
the name, you're like, is it the same person or is it somebody else with the same name?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. For listeners that aren't aware, the Clint Mansell kind of cut his teeth in the industry as well. I guess he was one of the front men, wasn't he, of Popolita Yourself, kind of Grebo. I mean, to say that, like, you know, to make pioneering work, I do think that Popolita Yourself are not credited for
massively underrated
what they done with sampling and sound and genres at the time that they were doing it. You know, I mentioned the fact that, you know, early 90s, I think stuff like Defcon 1 was like maybe 1988. And I think, yeah, you know, Can You Dig It? Stuff like that was like, it was late 80s, and it was very, very interesting what they were doing. And I think Liam Hallis often kind of credited them, I think. You know, I mean, they featured on Their Law, I think, on the second record. I'm right, am I not, the Popolita Yourself from Their Law on Duted? I'm sure they are. And yeah, you could see why bands like The Prodigy would have lent from the kind of stuff that Poppies were doing.
They should have been much bigger than they were.
Mm.
Like, they were very big underground. I mean, all my age, everybody knew about them, but they didn't sell records.
Well, they were like a lot of other bands back then. They sold a lot more T-shirts than they sold records.
Absolutely. Well, I took off my Popolita Yourself T-shirt this morning to put this one on. Well, I was like, I'll put this on. But yeah, you know, instantly, you see someone with a Poppies T-shirt, you're like, yep, I know you. I know you. Yeah. And they're just instantly recognisable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right, has anyone got any more? If we've got no more scores, we can rattle off some more soundtracks. Has anybody got some?
There is only one score we need to talk about.
Right, let's do it.
Star Wars, obviously. I'll say the obvious one. Star Wars.
Do you know what's really, really pathetic It didn't even cross my mind. How did that not cross my mind? That's ridiculous.
I've no idea, Stu.
I think I just got caught up in soundtracks, and then I just went straight to Zimmer. And like,
Williams is your childhood.
Like, why would I not go Williams? He literally soundtracked my whole childhood. And yeah, Mr. Love was holding up Close Encounters score there. Fantastic. I mean, E.T. for fuck's sake. Like, oh, perfect. Perfect. Are you just going for the everything that Star Wars, Steve? Or is there a specific...
Pretty much. At the end of the day, you can't get much better than the opening crawl of Star Wars. Just sitting there, little grotty kid, watching that, reading that little bit of bumps coming along and that score kicking in. Sitting there with me, trying to pick my jaw up off the floor. I didn't know what was coming up. Oh, it was amazing.
When they reissued the first ones again in the sort of mid-90s with the sort of new bits added and whatnot, I was so excited to go to the cinema again. Obviously, I see them when I was a kid, but to go to the cinema for what you've just described, that more than anything, to just get that punch in the face when all that, like the whole orchestra just comes at you, and then you get the rolling text, and it was like fucking. I still get goosebumps when I'm watching it on the TV now. It's pathetic.
Me too.
It's not pathetic. It's brilliant.
I'll be 48 next year or at the end of this month, and I'll still. It's like 9-year-old me watching every time.
Love it.
It's just Pavlovian. You hear it somewhere, and you go immediately.
True. Well, if we're going to talk scores, then I will throw the Rocky score in there. The Bill Conti going to fly in there, because I mean Rocky IV soundtrack there. Hearts on Fire, Burning Heart, like they're all on there. But even some of the training montages, that you know, them films would just look at that. Like, yeah, rest in peace, Apollo Creed. Look at him, what a specimen of a man. I was banging on about Rocky 2 on Hardcore Listing this week, but that scene when he does the training montage where he's running down the road and all the kids are chasing him, he runs up the stairs in Philly, it's just a the score works so well. I think it's a masterpiece, and I think that'd be mine. Soundtracks, who wants to throw some in? Right, what we got? We'll start at the top with you, Mr. Lovell.
I've got a pile of them here.
Okay.
They're all old school. Right. Shaft.
Aha, can you think?
Shaft is good. Lost Boys.
Come on. Cry Little Sister, right?
Oh, thank you. Good. Sexy bloke with a saxophone.
That's right. That's shirt. But also the don't get me off Starmaker, mate. I'll burst into tears if I hear Starmaker. First ever slow dance at school, that was. Superb. Superb. But on Lost Boys, let's talk Lost Boys for a minute, because I think that score is fucking amazing. So you got the Bunnymen on there doing People Are Strange, right?
Yeah. You got Times in Excess.
Jimmy Barnes in Excess. Like, that's so good, that is. Like, I rewatched Lost Boys at Christmas. It was another one of them films that I sat my kids. I mean, check this out. And within like 10 minutes, they're on their phones going, why are you making us watch this? Lost Boys holds up.
I Still Believe by Tim Capello.
That's the dude with the sax, isn't it?
Sexy one, isn't it? Yeah. I've got some real shit ones that I love. And this is one of my most embarrassing albums I own. And I adore this soundtrack. I'm so fucking ashamed of this. This is, look at that. Give my regards.
No.
I fucking love that film. I saw that at the cinema as well.
So did I.
Rock Song was a little startup film.
Is that on there?
No, it's not on it. No, it's not. That was the little mini film that was at the beginning. It was like the little film before. I adore that film.
We was having the conversation before we recorded the Acceptable in the 80s podcast, where we was talking about Macca. And I love the Beatles. a lot. They're one of my favourite bands. But when you look at what Lennon done after the Beatles, pretty perfect, most of it. And like, and that Wings done, you know, a few tunes, but as McCartney in the last 30 years made that much good music?
I couldn't name one song he's actually done that was even accepted.
Not. He died in the 60s, didn't he?
The last single that he put out as a solo artist that I loved was No More Lonely Nights from Give My Regards to Broad Street. And
You don't like Mullah's Kintyre?
That was before. That was before that.
Oh, okay.
Like, but I think that was the last one. Have we got any diehard Macca solo fans here?
Anyone in the whole country?
No, but I do think it does, not that this helps, but like, you know, obviously John Lennon died and then he's not then had to grow uncool, so to speak.
Yeah, of course.
But
I'm not hating on Macca.
Get a road from me, but apart from that, I've got my kids' runs now. I've got my kids' soundtracks left now, though.
Okay. I'm loving the fact you've actually got them all here. Yeah,
this one, look at this beauty. Turtle Power, picture this.
Amazing.
How can you go wrong with that? Then you got...
Is that the album or is that Partners in Crime?
Partners in Crime.
Fantastic.
I've got Songs of Chigley and Trumpton, which me and my... Me and my we listened to the whole album on Saturday night. Me and my wife sat in the kitchen and listened to the whole thing. It's wonderful. It really is. I've got some gigs now.
Ah, oh, has anyone ever had a look at his hard drive? I mean, he's a question one, isn't he, Barbara Abrams?
The second track on it is called Smurfing Beer. There's nothing to do with alcohol, but then I've got a last couple now I've got.
Ah, perfect.
Muppet Show, which is beautiful. It is beautiful.
Gatefold.
And then I've got Fraggle Rock.
Ah, even better.
Yes. And it's a gatefold as well.
Great. Love that. Oh, yeah, mate. Top effort there, mate.
But that one, my favourite. That one, my favourite one, though.
What's your favourite one?
My favourite song of anything ever from television. Is that?
Yes.
So it's holding up the monkey. I'll take it if the theme tune to Monkey, the single.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
On the naked mountains.
Yeah. He knew every magic trick under the sun.
Yeah,
he did. Love that. Paul Cummins, any other film soundtracks that have not been mentioned that you love?
Because you mentioned the Beatles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is fantastic. It's got Six Explosions, what they get the start, and then there's the big parade at the end where they sing Twist and Shout, and it's just like fantastic choreography around Chicago or whatever, yeah. And I think Big Audio Dynamite are on it as well, and Yellow, I think, are on it.
Yep, so,
yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Well, just a wonderful film, other film, and great soundtrack as well.
I was watching it's quite madness, but I was watching a film the other day. I can't remember what it was, but in it they were watching Ferris Bueller. I think I'll tell you what it was. It was the Jodie Foster True Detective thing. And in the opening scene, they're watching the procession and the Twist and Shout. And as much as I was trying to watch Jodie Foster, I was just watching the little telly in the corner of thinking, I really want to watch Ferris Bueller there. Oh, fantastic. Dave, any other soundtracks that you want to mention?
Yeah, another one going back to the 80s, whereas Breakfast Club is considered quite an iconic film.
Yeah.
But I actually think Pretty in Pink, which was kind of like a sequel to it, I think that was a better film with a better soundtrack.
Yeah.
You had the Psychedelic Furs doing the title track. I think the Smiths were on it as well.
Oh, were they?
I can't remember exactly which track it was. It was a slow one. Which one was it? I don't know. I haven't got it.
Please.
Let Me Get What I Want. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Oh,
amazing. Yeah.
I love the fact that you've just pulled that out as well.
Sorry.
I used to have that on vinyl as well when I had vinyl, but unfortunately, many years ago, I got rid of all my vinyl.
Oh.
Something I kind of kicked myself a bit for now because I didn't even make any money on it. It all went to a charity shop.
Oh,
my God. I know.
Oh, I don't think I could. I kept hold of mine, thankfully. I think I just would never sleep at night if I knew that someone else had.
Mine's getting fucking buried with me, so.
I sold my Manic Street Preachers signed stuff, which had all of them on originally in the 90s, so that we could get some cider and some hash. It was a good hedge.
That's why I sold it. Well, at least you did it for a good reason.
Yeah, that's what I think. My kids are proud of me for that.
Kirst, what you got?
Lost in Translation. I really like that film. And there's like a really nice song by called like Alone in Kyoto or something like that. And it's generally like instrumental, but there's just this like a few moments where the keys come in and stuff. And it's really lovely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Little Steve.
And the huge sort of vein, some kind of wonderful, it's quite a good soundtrack, and the March Violets cover of Miss Amanda Jones, fucking brilliant. And for a song from a film that's not particularly good, so I don't know what else is on the soundtrack, they bring back one of my other tropes from Showgirls, Scylla, Helen's Face.
Yeah.
Tony Halliday coming back yet again, guitar lead for that. I did have a copy of the demos that was available and I had that, but then my MP3 got fucked and it's lost it and that available online anymore. It's like, why don't they just reproduce those demos that were there, give them a bit of a sheen and actually sell it?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the stuff.
Do you know what? Like, I don't think I've heard that. So it wasn't Curve?
No, Scylla. It was after Curve first split up. It was much more. It was all female when it was much more sort of guitar based, but it still sounded very curvy.
Yeah, oh, nice. Well, I'm going to have a little look at that. Is anybody familiar with the soundtrack to The Wanderers?
Yes,
vaguely.
Great film.
It's one of my. I've got the film poster of it just there, and the soundtrack is where I discovered Frankie Valli, because the opening scene is to Walk Like a Man. Big Girls Don't Cry is on it. Sherry's on it. The Angels are on it with My Boyfriend's Back, which I love. I don't know if you're familiar with the Shantae's, got an instrumental track called Pipeline, which is fucking awesome. Kind of like sort of surf guitar stuff. Is it Contos Do You Love Me? That's on there. Run Around Sue. It's just, it's just perfect. Loads of doo-wop, and it's a fantastic soundtrack. But yeah, it's not my number one. So, Big Steve, you got another one you want to throw in?
Yes, mate. I don't know whether anyone remembers, but in the late sort of 90s, there was loads of pastiches of like gangster rap films around. So you had films like Fear of a Black Hat and I'm Gonna Get You Sucker and things like that. But there was one that was by Chris Rock. It was called CB4.
Legendary.
Basically stood for Cell Block 4, didn't it? Yeah. And they basically just rinsed loads of NWA stuff.
Yeah.
And did it about their small town that they come from, like fronting up and pretending to be gangsters. But that soundtrack's really cool. And their versions of Straight Outta Compton and things like that are really good as well.
I've not seen that since it came out, but I like it when they split up and they all become another sort of niche. Like one of them goes Daisy Age, but it's the Militant guy that sings the track I'm Black. Which is absolutely, they're the lyrics for the whole song. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
I might just standing there in a power pose holding the lake and going on Black.
That's fantastic. I've completely forgot about that film. Oh, amazing. Who else to throw another one in? Mr. Carter?
I've got four on my list. I'm going to save one of them to the end. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, now
banging.
It's wicked. Dirty Dancing. Can't go wrong with that.
Run it, mate.
And I'm surprised no one's mentioned Saturday Night Fever. which is just iconic.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it.
I mean, let's shout out Grease, right? Like, you know.
Yes, yeah.
One of the most iconic opening soundtracks ever, that Frankie Valli. I mean, Barry Gibb, I think, wrote Grease, didn't he? But obviously Frankie Valli sang it. Them horns at the beginning of that, that's how you start a film. It's fucking incredible.
Drum break. Yeah.
What's that?
There's a drum break, isn't there, in the...
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
So good. So good.
I think the Bee Gees have been ruined for me in the last couple of weeks because of Dave's Donkeys.
I've not listened to that episode.
That is
ruined my brain, that episode.
Yeah. That jingle is in my head is the perfect Bee Gees song.
Oh, I now know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's too drive talking, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's ruined it for me.
Yeah. I think he's probably as much on production getting that done as what Barry Gibb did in the 70s.
Actually, it's the soundtrack, isn't it? Soundtrack to his podcast is Jingle, so maybe you should shout him out.
Yeah, I should do. He should not.
He's out of all the others, obviously.
Does anyone remember when was it Barry Gibb did Glastonbury 2 or 3 years ago and someone went up on Twitter going, I can't believe he's doing all these Steps covers, and the internet erupted. And he's like,
is that KEP?
Fantastic. Who wants to throw one in?
Sorry, go ahead.
Quadrophenia.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No one mentioned that. Oh god. I mean, we talk about intros to films as well. When after the initial scene, when it drops in, when Jimmy's on the scooter, and is it Real Me, isn't it? Does it start with Real Me?
I think so, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Da, da, da. Yeah, it's Real Me, yeah. Oh, fucking hell. And like, because there's two soundtracks, isn't there? There's like the Who one, and then there's the one with the other films, the other songs that are used in the soundtrack as well, if I remember rightly.
I think the Who did about 13 tracks on it. But some of the other ones was The Kingsman, Louie Louie.
Yeah.
And Booker T and the MGs.
Yeah.
By Green Onions. And what was the other one?
Who Ron Ron's on it.
That's right. Yeah, did Who Ron Ron Ron, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's mostly The Who.
Yeah. Love Rain on Me. I mean, that takes some beating, doesn't it? What a record that is. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Can't believe there's so many that I've just completely overlooked here. Has anybody want to mention Trainspotting? Because
yeah, definitely.
Like that was pretty special, wasn't it? I think for Underworld alone, I mean, I think Born Slippy just took on a complete life of its own after Trainspotting dropped, and I think as well hearing like that scene where Ewan McGregor and I forget the Scottish actress's name, Kelly
McDonald,
where they're just doing, oh, you've got green eyes, oh, you've got blue eyes, and to then have that reintroduce the world to that perfect Norda record is wonderful. Just on a completely different tangent, I've been listening to a lot of New Order this last week, so I've just finished listening to Tim Burgess's book. I don't know if anyone's read that or listened to it. I'm not even the biggest Charlatans fan, but it is a wonderful read. I would definitely recommend it. And there's he's very much a New Order obsessive, so he kind of just kept banging on about New Order in it. So I was like, I've got to go start listening to New Order again. And it's been a lovely week. Right, so Trainspotting. Any others?
One that I've never seen the film's Full Metal Jacket, but I've never seen the whole film, but there's a brilliant scene. Which is, you know, Surfing Bird by the Trash Can.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like where the scene is like there's wars going on all around and there's a film crew and they're kind of like filming some soldiers sitting on the ground completely spaced out and they're kind of moving along, you know, to the music. It's just amazing. And it's just like mad because it's just this mad song, but like with all this crazy war going on in the background. Yeah.
That's a great
it's class, yeah. And again,
the film's really good, though. Yes,
yeah, I'd love to see it actually. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
There must be some good war soundtracks. Is Platoon a good?
Yeah, I mean, I think of Platoon, obviously, it's thingy.
Orgio for Strings.
Yeah. Orgio for Strings in the iconic Willem Dafoe scene. But there's a beautiful bit where they're all singing Smokey's Tracks of My Tears as well, yeah. which I think that was used in the trailer as well. Yeah, that's the first 15 I ever went to see at the cinema, that. And I remember feeling like a right tough guy until Dylan smashes that poor kid's head open with the butt of his gun. And I remember just going all quiet in the cinema thinking, I wish I didn't come here without my mum and dad.
I turned the television on a couple of weeks ago, and it was just at the scene where they put the soap in the socks.
Yeah.
It all metal jacket. And it literally, I turned the TV on, and it was that moment, which is horrendous.
Mm.
Poor old Private Pyle.
Private Pyle. Okay.
What about TV themes?
We can do that next time, mate. We ain't starting now at 22 minutes past 8. What you got there? Fucking hell.
That was my grandma's. My grandma bought that and it's got it.
Oh, amazing. I have got some very questionable 7 inches of TV themes. I will be dusting off my Carpenter and Post composition of Hill Street Blues. I will be bringing that one out, mate. Brett, you've got one.
Yeah, no one's mentioned American Werewolf in London.
Oh.
Perfectly done. Every song is about the moon as well. It's utter genius. And a great film. And Jenny Agutter.
Well, you can't hear. I don't think there's any guys around my age that will not hear Moondance without thinking of a naked Jenny Agutter, because as when that film, when I first saw that, I was probably about 11 or 12, and I remember just thinking, oh my God, what is happening? This is a tune, though. Like, but, and it's really weird, like, as a big boxing fan, every time Ricky Hatton would make the ring walk, he'd come out to Blue Moon. And as soon as you hear them opening, sort of, blah, 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 but I just think, oh, I really want to watch American Werewolf because it's the opening scene. And Bad Moon Rising, oh, so good. So good. Great shout, mate. Can I throw my number one in? I'm going to go, no one's mentioned it yet. And my favourite film soundtrack, it's all by one artist. But yeah, it's Curtis Mayfield's Superfly. I absolutely love that album. It's probably in my top 5 albums of all time. I guess most people know the track Superfly, I'm Your Pusher, which Ice-T sampled on The Power. A lot of people know Freddy's Dead. I think Fishbone done a cover of Freddy's Dead in the early 90s as well. But it's just that there's a track on there called Eddie You Should Have Known Better, which is just fucking perfect. I'm obsessed with that album, and it really opened up the world of Curtis Mayfield to me, who's one of my faves. And I just absolutely, I think I bought Superfly on VHS and I've maybe watched it once. The film didn't really resonate with me, but as far as soundtracks goes, it's that and the Wanderers are me faves. But yeah, has anyone else owned the Superfly soundtrack?
I've actually got it on vinyl, but it's in the pile somewhere. They were the only band on Little Grey Whistle Test that turned all of their volumes down to as low as they could, weren't they?
Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, they went on there. I'm sure it's Curtis Mayfield, and it's like everyone turns everything up, and they turned everything right down, and they played as it should be, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
No, he's amazing. The percussion is incredible. The drumming and percussion is incredible.
Yeah, what a dude. What an absolute dude. What have we missed? I mean, I shouldn't be, you know, I have not put the homework in here because I can't believe I overlooked Star Wars. I'm not going to sleep. Really? Is Thriller a film soundtrack, or is the Thriller the video to the other? Yeah,
a great soundtrack. Oh, yeah, War of the Worlds.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that's got to be one of the biggest. I think Saturday Night Fever's got to be the biggest, hasn't it? Like that was so That's sold.
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror. Yeah, of course. Like, didn't think of that. I mean, we should shout out Singles as well. I did mug the film off earlier, but as an early 90s grunger, getting to buy the Singles soundtrack just so you own State of Love and Trust was by Pearl Jam was a win for me.
He had a great soundtrack to a film called Pop Star Never Stopping by The Lonely Island. It's really funny.
I've not heard that.
Do you know what The Lonely Island are?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You should watch the film, mate. It is fucking hilarious.
Have you heard Red Flag Day? Red Flag Day, it's the Eddie Vedder. His daughter sings on it. I Am My Father's Daughter. There's a track on there. It's one of my favourite. It's got to be one of my favourite songs I've heard in the last 10 years. I'm sure the soundtrack's Red Flag Day. I can't remember. There's three other artists. There's three artists. Eddie Vedder's one of them. It's an incredible soundtrack. I've never seen the film.
There's a great film featuring Eddie Vedder. And I think I think it may be where his relationship with Sean Penn started, because I only see the other day that Sean Penn introduced Eddie Vedder on stage to sing One for U2 in some kind of inaugural presentation in America. But Eddie Vedder singing One was pretty powerful. But there was a film called Sam I Am, and the whole soundtrack is Beatles songs. And Eddie does Hide Your Love Away, but Ben Folds does Golden Slumbers, and it will fucking break you in half. Ben Folds' voice is perfect on that track. I'm trying to think who else is on it. I think Amy Mann. I think the Stereophonics might do. I don't know. I can't remember what they
do. I know Dagens.
Like, no, I know. Like, apologies in advance if you do check out the Sam I Am soundtrack. But yeah, that's. And there was a film.
Magnolia soundtrack by Amy Mann's really good as well. So I had Amy Mann's track on it.
Oh, right.
Magnolia.
Yeah, of course. There was a film that came out, and I can't even remember what it was called, but I've got the soundtrack. And it was Ray Winston, and it was the acting debut of Damon Albarn. And it's about like a bank job, and it's called. What is it called? And it's got
everyone's a slag.
It's literally got everybody that would be in Bad Slags in the cast. But the soundtrack is amazing. It was all very sort of Britpoppy. Gene had London Can You Wait on it. Do you know, this is a really piss poor bit of chat, this. I don't know what the film was called. I can't remember what else was in it. I can't remember the actors that were in it. Let's just move on. But yeah, it was full of Bad Slags. And yeah, things got a bit tasty. But yeah. All right. Well, look, that's a perfectly shit note to end this chat on. My very sketchy guesswork there. I'm going to press stop on this episode. Thanks to everybody that's come this evening. Those that are here on the chat, don't go anywhere. I'm just going to press stop on the recording. If you're listening and you've not been to one of these chats, then... I promise you that all the other ones, there's been no glitches at the beginning, and it's actually seemed to have worked out all right, the internet connection. But thanks everyone for listening, and I will see you next time.